Hey, thanks so much for joining us for another episode of the Tree of Life Church podcast. It's our prayer that these messages help connect you to the life, love, and power of Jesus.
Last week, if you were here for our Easter service, Pastor Don kicked off, well, he didn't kick off a series, but he preached a message called Alive in Him. Alive in Him. Wasn't that an amazing message? Amazing. And then he gave this illustration of the bends. Remember the bends? And he showed the bends and he showed how Christ is on the inside of us and we're on the inside of Christ. And then, and all, we're on the inside of God. And he used a scripture in Colossians chapter 3 that says that my life is now hidden in Christ in God. So I'm alive in him. And so over the next couple of weeks, Pastor Cody and I are going to be talking to you all about what does it look like to be in him? What do we have for being in him? And we talk about the death, the burial, and the resurrection. But with his resurrection, along with his resurrection, we received something. What does that look like? And so, again, over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about that. And after the resurrection, now what? After salvation, now what? What do I have? What do I do after all of this? And we could go weeks and weeks and talk about all of the different things that we have in him. How we have peace in him and we have joy in him and how we have healing in him and freedom in him and how we have strength in him and power in him, all of those different things. We could talk weeks and weeks and weeks about what we have in him. And I encourage you that though we may not exhaust the subject, you can still study to show yourself approved unto God. Start looking into finding out what you possess in him. Because what we believe is, we believe if we're going to live the life that is afforded to us by Christ, we have to know what belongs to us in him. Things we have in Christ, what we possess, the authority, the dominion that we have, we don't have it because he died. We have it because he rose. We don't have healing because Christ died. Our healing comes because he got up. We don't have joy and peace and strength and the anointing of God upon us because he died. We have it because he got up. And if Jesus hadn't risen, there wouldn't be any answer for the sin problem that Adam created. We wouldn't have an answer to that if Jesus hadn't got up. There would be no healing. There would be no freedom. There would be no power if Jesus had not got up. So when he got up, he brought with us or brought us something. What I want to begin this series talking about today is hope in him. We have hope in him. The resurrection of Jesus was the greatest promise of hope beyond the grave. It was the greatest promise that we had. And if he did not come back from the grave, we would not have any hope. And when we use that word hope, we often use it in a verb tense. And we talk about, you know, a wish or a desire or something that this expectation that we have. And oftentimes it's an expectation that sometimes doesn't even happen. And it's like when you were growing up and Christmas time came around. You wrote out your Christmas list, got the Christmas list, or it was your birthday, and you have all these things. You're like, I hope I can get everything on my list. I hope I can get this for my birthday, and that's what it was when you're a kid. And then when you get older, it turns a little different. I hope I can pay this bill. I hope when I swipe my card, the attendant doesn't get disrespectful and say, excuse me, it's declined. It's like, why they got to get loud when it's declined? Can you, like, you know it's declined. Can you pull me to the side and say something? Don't embarrass me in front of everybody. I hope I get that promotion. I hope I get that house. I hope I get that car. I hope my credit score is good enough so that they will approve me for the loan. We use that word hope for a wish and for a desire. And I was looking in the dictionary on the definition of hope, and I found this definition and I thought it was so good. And I put it in your notes and I want you to look at this. And it's the noun tense of the word hope. And it says someone on which hopes are centered. Now, if you notice, I didn't say something. That definition didn't say a thing. It said someone on whom our hopes are centered. And for so long, we've been getting defeated because we've been putting our hope in things instead of the one who gives us the things. So for so long, we put our hope in the healing rather than in the healer. For so long, we've put our hope in the miracle rather than in the miracle worker. For so long, we put our hope in the deliverance that we're looking for to God to give us rather than in the one who delivers. And so what I want and my hope and my prayer is by the end of this message, you no longer hope in things, but your hope lies in Him. The reality is that sometimes when we hope in things, it doesn't happen. What happens if the healing doesn't come? What happens if you're trying to pay that bill and the car still gets repoed? What happens when you go get behind on the mortgage and you've been praying and you've been believing and you've been fasting and you've been doing all of the things that you learned in church and all of the stuff that we say, it's like you put this thing in and you get something out. What happens if it doesn't happen? What happens if you put all of your time and your energy into that relationship and then Paul doesn't put a ring on it? I'm sorry if your name is Paul in here. That name just... Somebody boyfriend named Paul sitting next to him, they're like, see, he was talking to you. If you like it, then you should have. No, sorry. What happens when it doesn't happen? And that's the reality. And sometimes we don't want to look at reality. Faith is not a denial of reality. Reality still exists. But what happens when it doesn't happen? I took my son to the doctor the other day, and we went to get some x-rays. My son is a basketball player, and he's actually doing pretty good. And he takes after his father, and just... And my son wants to be tall, because his dad is tall. And then he looks at his mother. And she's 4'11". And she's like, no, I'm 5 foot. You better give me my inch. And he's like, God, please don't let me take after my mother. It is funny. If you see my wife, her mom, her grandma, her sister, they literally all of them 5 feet. They just, it's like a straight line. He's like, I hope that I can take after my dad. Please let me get my dad's height. And so they measured him. The doctor measured him. And we're sitting in the room before the doctor comes in. And I said, how do you feel, son? He's like, I'm kind of excited, but I'm also kind of nervous. And I said, so what if they tell you you're not going to grow anymore? And he's like, Dad, no, I'm not even thinking that way. I'm going to keep growing. I said, but what if they tell you that you're not? And he said something to me. He said, Dad, you always want me to be ready for anything. I said, you're absolutely correct, son. I always want you to be prepared for anything. Now, I'm not telling you don't have faith. Still have faith, but be prepared for it. What if it doesn't happen? Then what? I didn't want him to place his faith in him growing anymore. I wanted him to place his faith in the one who can open the door if he doesn't. Now, when the x-rays came back, he was so excited because the doctor said, well, his growth plate is still open. And he'll at least get to about 6'1". I was like, I I said, I done invested some money, son. You got to get to the pros because you owe me. And I got receipts. This is an investment and I'm going to get an ROI. So he was excited about it. He was excited that they told him that he was going to grow anymore. But I said, son, I didn't want you to just hope in the fact that you were going to get taller, but I wanted you to think about what's going to happen if you're not. Is your hope and your faith in the fact that you get taller because it looks better for scouts and other and those other things? Or can you hope in the one that if I don't get taller, my God still opens doors that no man can shut? That my God still has favor that goes out before me and it follows me and it surrounds me. Is my faith, is your hope in the one who can do it? Or is your hope in what he does? Is your hope in the result or the outcome? Or is your hope in the one who brings the results and the outcome to pass? You know, it takes a certain kind of faith to hope for something and it doesn't happen. It takes a certain kind of faith to fast and to pray and to stand on faith and to believe and stand on the promise of God and it doesn't happen. You know, it's kind of like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When they were believing and they told King Nebuchadnezzar, listen, you can throw us in the fire and we know that our God can deliver us, but even if he does not, we know that he's still able. It takes a certain kind of faith to say that if he doesn't show up, it doesn't mean he's not able. Now, I don't know why he didn't show up, but I do know that he's able. I don't know why he didn't close the door. I don't know why he didn't open the door. I don't know why he didn't provide. I don't know why the healing didn't come, but he's still a healer. Can you hope that way? Not in what he brings, but can you hope in him? That's where our Father wants our hope to be. You see, because when Jesus came, he didn't come to just bring us hope. He is our hope. He didn't come to just bring hope and this wish and this desire that I'm going to go to heaven one day. See, Jesus didn't even want you to come to heaven. He said, Father, I don't want you to remove them from this world, but I want you to protect them from the evil one. And see, we're trying to get to heaven. And Jesus said, no, I want to create heaven right here. I've given you the power and the authority. That's why he said, your kingdom come, your will be done right here on earth like it is in heaven. He doesn't want us to come there. He wants us to create heaven right here. But our hope's got to be in the right place. Our hope's got to be in him. Paul said it like this in his letter to Timothy. When he opened up his letter in 1 Timothy 1, it said, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God, our Savior, and of Christ Jesus, look at this, our hope. My hope and my prayer is that you and I can get to a place of not hoping in things, but hoping in him. And I'm not preaching a message to you that I'm not living out myself, because can I tell you, I've got to remind myself that my hope is in him. I've got to remind myself that it's not the things that I'm seeking after, but it's him. He said, listen, in Matthew 6, he says, if you seek first my kingdom, my righteousness, he said, the things that you're hoping for, the things that you're needing, listen, I'll give them to you, but I just want you to put your hope in me. If we're going to see victory in our lives, if we're going to see victory in our marriages, we have to change the object of our hope. When we place our hope in things and we don't get it, it messes us up. It messes your mind up. When you got a loved one on a hospital bed and you pray for them and you pray for God's healing to come and it doesn't happen and they still go home to be with the Lord. You begin to ask yourself, God, I prayed. Why? I believed. Why didn't it happen? I said, by your stripes we are healed. Why didn't it happen? One day we'll find out the answer to those questions. But can you have that kind of faith and that hope like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego if it doesn't happen. My hope still lies in him. You ever hope for something so bad and you didn't get it? How'd you feel? Didn't feel good, did it? You know, scripture says this in Proverbs chapter 13. It says it this way. It says, hope deferred makes the heart what? Sick. It don't feel good when you're hoping for something and it's delayed. Your friends got married in their 20s. And now you're in your mid to late 30s, early 40s, and you're still not married yet. Hope deferred can make the heart sick. Now, I don't have no answers to that. There's a Paul in here somewhere. But a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Now, don't go take that scripture and say, look, I found a scripture where the church was founded on. That's not it. Just because it say tree of life don't mean it. It was from. My hope is not in a thing, but my hope, your hope should be in him. You see, people hope for things. They hope that their job is always going to be there. They hope that their job is going to always have the money to pay their salary. They hope in their job as a source. We sometimes, and I'm guilty of this sometimes, will hope in my own strength and my own abilities. Listen, if I don't have it, I'm a hustler. I grew up as a hustler. I can go out and hustle. I can make some money. Now, it was an illegal way when I was growing up. But I know how to do it the legal way now. I can go out and make some money. And see, we put our hope in our own strength and in our own abilities instead of putting our hope in him. Listen, you don't have that wealth. You don't have that good job, that promotion. You don't have that business because you're just so good. You have it because of Deuteronomy 8:18. It's him who gave you the power to get wealth. You didn't do it by yourself. He gave you that power. He gave you that wisdom. He gave you that strength. He gave you that witty idea. He gave it to you. So where does your hope lie? What happens if they pass pink slips out to everybody? Is your hope in the job or is your hope in him? See, often we put our hope in God's provision rather than in God, our provider. Somebody missed that. We hope in the provision and him supplying our need rather than in him being the provider. See, Paul said it this way in Philippians 4. He says, my God will meet all your needs according to his riches in glory. It's not the needs or it's not the things that I'm hoping in him meeting the need. No, I'm hoping in him and his ability to do it, that if he, even if he doesn't, I still hope in him. It's kind of like what happened in John chapter 6 after Jesus feeds the 5,000. He goes off by himself and they come back and they find him and they're following him. And Jesus turns to him and say, listen, you're not following me just because I am who I am. You're following me because I gave you a fish dinner. That's why you're following me. And I'm paraphrasing. They said, well, Jesus, what you want us to do? What you expect? You fed us. We was hungry and you fed. What you expect? He said, believe in the one who sent me. Believe in me. Don't believe in the provision. Believe in me. Don't believe in the miracle. Believe in me. Don't believe in the deliverance. Believe in me. God wants us to get to a place where our hope is not in things, but our hope is in him. Some of you got too much hope in your savings account. I know that stung a little bit to somebody, Philip. Not you, it wasn't you. I just looked at you. Now, by no means am I telling you to not have a savings account because it's wisdom to do that. But is your hope in your cushion? Or is your hope in the Father who provided the cushion that you got anyway? Is your hope in your financial portfolio and how you diversify all of your finances and you invest over here and you got stocks over there and you got money that's just making while you sleep? Like some of y'all, like I envy some of you. You making that money while you sleep. I don't envy you. That's wrong. That's a sin. I don't do that. But is your hope in your savings accounts and all of those other accounts that you got, the offshore accounts, if you got one of them? Don't say you do because you go tell on yourself if you got it. Or is your hope in the provider? What happens if the bank shut down? What happens if all of that money you got, that cash you got stocked in your safe or in your mattress, if you still hide money in your mattresses or in the ceilings or in the walls or whatever, what happens if tomorrow the dollar loses its value? What happens if tomorrow you got seven figures, eight figures in your account today, and tomorrow it's wiped out? All the banks are gone. They have no idea where all the money is gone, and now it's zero. What happens then? Where is your hope? Is your hope in him, or is your hope in your cushion? God wants to be the object of our hope. Not what he does for us, but him himself. Not in our own strength and abilities, but in him. It says this in Psalm chapter 39. It says, show me, Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is. You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Everyone is but a breath, even those who seem secure. You put your hope in your five-year plan. Put your hope in your retirement plan and your retirement funds, your IRA. You might seem secure, but it's just a breath. Look at the next verse. In verse 6, it says, surely everyone goes around like a mere phantom. In vain they rush about, heaping up wealth without knowing whose it will finally be. Money you're saving up, where is it going? Who is it going to be? I got a will. And I got my will, and if it goes away, if something happens to me, my kids gonna get this. What the government can say, well, we don't honor wills anymore. Now what? Verse 7, but now, Lord, what do I look for? Look at this. My hope is in you. See, when your hope is in him, you understand that it don't belong to you anyway. You understand that nothing you have belongs to you anyway. And if God says, give it all away, a person whose hope in him, whose hope is in him, if he says, give it all away, you'll be like, okay, God, I'm not thinking twice. It's a seed. I'm giving it. But if by chance he whispers, Pastor Dave, just make sure it's his voice. It's not the enemy. It's... A person whose hope is in him. Doesn't matter what he says. I'm going to do exactly what he tells me to do. Well, Pastor Dave, he won't tell me to give away my finances. You sure? Because there was a man that came to Jesus and said, well, Jesus, how can I get eternal life? And he said, well, you got a whole lot. Why don't you sell it all and give it away and then come follow me? He said, no, I'm good, Jesus. I can't do that. You know the racks on racks I got, Jesus? I can't. You see my bag, Jesus? I can't get rid of it. Jesus wanted to see where his hope lie. Is your hope in me, or is your hope in the wealth that you created? You know, when we were growing up, the old church used to say it this way. It said, my hope is built in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It said, I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. And then they said, on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. Don't put your hope in things. There's all other ground. It's sinking sand. God wants us to get to a place where our hope is in him. Not in what he does for us, but it's in him. And you might say, Pastor Dave, I'm tired. I've been praying, I've been believing, I've been hoping, and I've been holding on for so long. Can I give you some encouragement today? In Isaiah chapter 40, it says, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. Look at this. He will not grow tired or weary. You might have gotten tired, but God has not gotten tired. You might fall asleep, but he doesn't slumber or sleep. And his understanding, no one can fathom. Look at this. He gives strength to those that are weary, and he increases the power of the weak. Anybody need some strength today? Anybody needs some power? He has promised us that he gives us this power when we're weary. He gives us this strength when we feel weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But look at this. Those who hope in the Lord, not in the things, but when your hope is in him, there's a strength that comes that no one else can give you. It's a strength that only comes from him. And watch this. It didn't say that he renews your strength. It says the one who hopes in him will renew their strength. Now, we know the strength comes from him, but there is something that we've got to do first, and it's hope in him. And there is a strength that comes that gives us the ability to soar on wings like eagles. It gives us the ability to run and not get weary. That gives us the ability to walk and not faint when our hope is in him. Can I submit to you today that the reason that we're feeling weak is because our hope has been in the wrong place? The reason we've been getting weary is because we've been placing our hope in things rather than our hope in him. Psalms chapter 33 says this, but the Lord watches over those who fear him, those who rely on his unfailing love. Look at this. He rescues them from death and keeps them alive in times of famine. I know that they're saying that the economy is on a downturn, but he keeps us alive in famine. I know that they're saying that we're probably going to hit another great depression. I don't trust in a government. My hope is in him who keeps me alive in a famine. So when everybody else doesn't have it, I know I'm going to have it. David said that 1,000 might fall at my right side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it will not come near me. I will only observe it with my eyes. When your hope is in him and not in things, he says, when you put your hope in the Lord, he is your help. He is your shield. Verse 21, in him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. Let your unfailing love surround us, for our hope is in you alone. There is no one else that I'm going to place my hope in. My hope, God, is in you alone. In the beginning, I said that Jesus doesn't want to just bring you hope. But Jesus is your hope. Now I want to submit to you that God is not only your hope, but he does also want to bring you hope. In Jeremiah 29 and 11, we've got the scripture out there on the wall. It says, for I know the plans that I have for you. They're plans to prosper you. They're plans not to harm you. And I know people have said that God is out to get you. God says, listen, that's not me. My plans are not to harm you. I know they may have said that you're struggling financially because of sin that you've done, because of things that you have done, because of times that you have made mistakes. Listen, God says, my plan is to prosper you. That's my plan. I don't know what your plans are, but my plan is to prosper you. My plan is not to harm you. He says, my plans are to give you a hope and to give you a future. You know, it's easy for me to put my hope in someone whose desire is to give me hope. It's easy for me to trust in someone who I know has my best interests at heart. Put your hope in him, because all other ground is sinking sand.
Thanks again for joining us this week. We pray that this message encouraged and inspired you. If you want to find out how you can be a part of Tree of Life, just go to our website, treeoflifechurch.org. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and share it with a friend.